We live in times many have dubbed the information age. We're bombarded with announcements, bulletins of all types. How do we extract messages meaningful from all the noise that surrounds them? Which announcements ought we be attentive to and which dismissive? The whole world these days seems to be awaiting for a little bit more encouraging news. Perhaps determining our responsiveness should first see from where the message derives and to whom and where it wishes to connect with us, our brains, our hearts, our wallet, or some other less holy side of our nature. Folks, pleasant announcements are probably not a way much of the world will remember 2020. But nevertheless, God always sends us special and beautiful bulletins over the sacramental airwaves. These we cannot ignore because they land softly in our hearts. Today's first reading from 2 Samuel recognizes perhaps the most significant announcement of the entire First Testament. God promised King David an eternal dynasty, triggering the hope we pivot towards in these final days of Advent. While at rest, David is awakened and becomes suddenly aware of his stately surroundings. Something is awry in what David notices. We also learn that God is humble. And it occurs to David through the prophet Nathan that there's some stark contrast between his living quarters versus the Lord's. The earthly king resolves to fix that situation by constructing another visible temple suitable for God, but not better than his own. David heads off then to make his daily Shema prayer, it's called, saying, "Great are you, Lord God. There is none like you. There is no God but you." This prayer, Judaism and Christianity have repeated for centuries. Well, David's prayer continues and we listen to God answer saying, "I will be a father to you, and you will be a son to me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." David is perplexed. But these words tell of a far greater temple not made of stones and mortar. The temple at the center of God's idea begins with this announcement of the Messiah's coming into the human experience. And the beautiful words St. Luke uses announce the imminent fulfillment of God's promise to David, Israel, and in fact, all creation, and does so in eloquent detail. The 6 month in Nazareth of Galilee, and the angel Gabriel gets the nod. It's not a king this time, but a young woman, not yet married to a man from David's lineage. But rejoice, highly favored daughter. Blessed are you among women. Who wouldn't be troubled by such a greeting? Might this be one of the many crank calls or spam messages? We can imagine running through this young woman's mind questions like, what's my family going to think? How am I going to explain this to my parents? I still live with them. How is Joseph going to take this news? Any mom would and should challenge Gabriel's authority to name her child. The mechanics of this entire announcement show a few gaps. Mary knows she can expect an inquiry and maybe even interrogation if she passes this announcement onward. She will need help formulating a reasonable response. Yep, Mary has every right to be perplexed. The young Jewish girl has just learned she's immediately tested positive on a pregnancy exam she didn't request nor could imagine. Nevertheless, Mary has been selected from among the daughters of Israel, a child of Abraham, well-versed in the law and the Torah and the words of the prophets. Mary, too, in other words, comes from good stock. And being well-schooled, she would almost certainly know the legal penalty that follows these kinds of announcements at that time. Mockery, ridicule, perhaps the assurance that such a scandal occurs only once. Hiding or fleeing doesn't really offer much of an option. How do you deny this evidence with each passing month? But Mary has listened carefully to the message. She accepts and responds, even though she has a couple of concerns. Her brain and her heart are well connected. We also have questions for God today. The messages before us can also at times overwhelm us. The mother of our Lord remains nothing less than a perfect model of discipleship. Her role becomes like a vaccine depot, receiving and routing souls to her son. Mary, in essence, has been tasked with delivering Jesus the last mile, so to speak. Today we collect around these tables of word and Eucharist as the voice of our angelic lector described the beginnings of this holy family. Mother saluted with the words, "Hail Mary, full of grace." It almost sounds as though God reserves the first words of our Holy Rosary for himself. Perhaps this coming week, many of you will find a moment to ponder this wonderful and holy greeting. St. Peter's Parish animates this beautiful tradition of praying the rosary before weekday masses. What a great way to prepare for Holy Eucharist and to prepare for the coming of our Lord at Christmas. The Holy Spirit will come down upon us, and the power of the Most High will overshadow us. In other words, the entire Trinity will accompany us, for nothing is impossible with God. But what will be your reply, Mary, or Thomas, Jennifer, and Ron? The last words belong to you and I. We too are servants of the Lord. But will we respond to God similarly this Advent with, "Let it be done to us as you say"? Amen.